You don't have to know a lot of things in order to make a huge difference for the Lord in the world. But you do need to know a few things that are great and be willing to live for them and die for them.
Will I let Jesus prove to me that He's truly my strength? To let Him prove inside of me that through Him I can do all things.
The True Strength Life Podcast with Aaron Simpkins.
What's up, good people? This is Aaron. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the True Strength Life Podcast. Something a little different coming your way. Sat down with my good friend Marcus Tatum, and we discussed our top five favorite preachers. Now, we both approached this, our list, a little bit differently, which we, you know, we will discuss so that that's, you know, that's made clear why we have it the way we do. But it was pretty cool. Like we also touched on real quick, you know, him and I talk every day. We talk about the Bible every day, different preachers, like different stuff we're hearing. We talk every day. But the cool part was neither one of us had any crossover on our list, on our top fives. So that was pretty cool. So I hope you guys enjoy this. Again, that's our top five preachers. We start with number five, then go to one. There's some other pretty interesting discussion in there, and just, you know, hopefully you guys enjoy. And we also do some honorable mentions of a couple other guys. And this is not I'm drawing a blank on the word I want to use, but this is not a final list of, you know, these are the best guys out there. This is obviously something like this is totally subjective. And these are people that have impacted our lives personally, you know, through their sermons and listening to their teachings and all. And, you know, again, for you, you might have a totally different top five, which is awesome. That just shows that, you know, that shows that there's a large variety of people out there that have used the God-given gifts that they have, and they're out there spreading God's word. That's awesome. And I hope you guys enjoy this, and tell us what you think. Tell us your top five. Or somebody, you know, that you're surprised we didn't mention. And share it, comment, rate it. We appreciate you guys. We're hoping to do, the plan is to do much more content like this. So, not necessarily, you know, top five every episode, but more content together. We have some stuff in the works for some video stuff and definitely some more podcasts together. So, I hope you guys enjoy this. Let us know what you think. So let's get it going.
Check out TrueStrengthApparel.com for clothing you'll love with a message you can trust. That's TrueStrengthApparel.com.
All right, let's go. We're about to, Marcus and I are about to jump into our top five favorite preachers / ministers / we kind of approach this differently, so
yeah,
we'll explain that. Let's explain that first.
Sure, let's go with it. So how did you figure that out, or what did you base it off of when you picked your top five?
So when I was picking my top five, I was thinking people who are pastors, or at least used to be full-time pastors for a little while, but are still heavy in preaching and stuff like that. So all of my guys are either current pastors or former pastor, and still and have always been preaching heavy. They're not like a traveling, you know, minister, speaker at different events, and that, you know, that's not like, that's not their full time thing. Their full time thing is their pastors.
Right.
So that's kind of how I approached it.
All right. Well, I'll get into mine later. You get into your list, and let's see what you got.
Okay. Number five. Roger Cousineau.
I have no idea who that is.
I know you don't know who it is. Why? Because he is my OG pastor when I was born and raised in Maine. In Maine, he back then, before I was born, and all the way even now going strong, he's the pastor of East Auburn Baptist Church in Maine.
Dope.
Roger Cousineau. He's just very simple.
Yeah.
Very to the point.
Yeah.
And holds your attention, and he also has ADD himself, so he kind of he's energetic. I remember him. I remember when I was young, I remember him like when he was preaching, he would like walk up and down the aisle sometimes, and not necessarily run, but he was like, he was all over the place. He couldn't just stand at the pulpit.
Yeah.
Kind of,
you ever see Stephen Furtick just be running around the whole church, like preaching from the back?
No, he did that back in the day. He doesn't do it so much now, probably because
age.
You know, well, age and you know, they record all his sermons and stuff. You can find them on YouTube. On YouTube, or I don't know if they have a podcast, but East Auburn Baptist Church in Maine. If you look them up on YouTube, you can just find the sermons, or their website is eabc.me. eabc.me. Roger Cousineau.
Word.
That's my number five.
That's what's up.
So,
who you got at four?
Jeff Durbin.
Okay. Yep.
I know a guy. Okay. So the rest of my guys are well known guys. Jeff Durbin, I know, is somebody that probably rubs people the wrong way a little bit sometimes.
What's funny about that is actually I know the name, and I know he rubs people the wrong way. That's about all that I know about him. Like, I've never listened to any of his teaching, so I couldn't tell you what I feel about him. Okay. But no, I'm familiar with the name for sure. But why is he number four on your list?
He's number four on my list. Okay, for me, there's a trend where, I hope I don't say this in a way that makes any of these guys, where it sounds like a negative to these guys, but these guys are guys that are, you know, they can go very deep, all of them. They can go very deep, theological, the whole thing with you.
Right.
But most of the time, they're pretty simple in their presentation. You know what they're getting across. You know what they're saying. They don't you know, wander out into the weeds too much.
Right.
They can, and they do occasionally, but there isn't a whole lot of flexing going on, if that makes sense.
Just a simple gospel.
Yeah, and so I like Jeff Durbin because he's that. Just the other day I listened to a sermon, and super convicting, which I would hope any Christian would want to be convicted by hearing a sermon, a message, to want to learn something from it, to be convicted by it. And I was in the middle of the gym listening to it, and I'm like, I was like, bro, I need to go sit down. So he's at Apologia Church in Arizona, apologiachurch.com. Jeff,
he's, now that you say Apologia Church, I think it's ringing a bell. He is involved with some of the American Gospel projects.
Yes.
Right.
More so James White, I think. But James White is also from Apologia Church.
The guy with the beard?
That's Jeff Durbin.
Okay, that's the one I'm talking about then. Okay,
yeah. He also is very well known for his abortion stuff. End Abortion Now. I believe it's endabortionnow.com or .org.
Yeah, yeah.
They do a lot of of abortion abolishment ministry.
Okay.
And they're involved in adoption and taking care of the moms and giving them the gospel and all kinds of stuff. It's not just, it's, you know, it's very good. You go, probably at this point they have thousands of videos that you can look up of them doing street, you know, abortion ministry. Hmm. Or even just Jeff Durbin in general doing street ministry, talking to all kinds of people. His videos where he's talking with Mormons and stuff are really good.
Yeah.
So it's my number four.
Dope. You got a three.
You ready for this three?
Let's go.
Speaking of controversy. Oh, boy.
As if the last one wasn't.
So, well, I mean, controversy in some people's minds.
Okay.
Vody Bakum.
Oh, okay.
He's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. he's good. He's very to the point. He's very sharp, very convicting.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to, and this is another theme with my guys. They're not afraid to point something out about you or just in general about the body or about themselves. They're not afraid to say something sharp because their thing is truth. Their thing is the gospel. And sometimes that can come off a little sharp.
Yeah.
Vody Bakum. Obviously, you know, if you're involved in any type of following any type of Christian media type stuff, you've obviously heard about him a lot, especially recently with his book Fault Lines coming out and how that addresses a lot of culture stuff going on with CRT and racism and all kinds of stuff.
Right.
I originally got on Vody Bakum a couple of years ago just from his sermons. He was suggested to me. I'd never heard of him.
Yeah.
And I looked him up on Apple Podcasts, I think, and just started listening to some sermons. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, this is my dude.
Yeah, super, definitely super convicting.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not afraid to convict some people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
And and he's a black belt jiu-jitsu. You know that?
Is it jiu-jitsu?
I think it's jiu-jitsu.
Okay. Yeah, it is something like that. I know it's definitely a combat sport, whatever it is. Which is interesting.
He used to be the pastor at Grace Family Baptist Church in Texas. Mm-hmm. Now he's the dean of theology at African Christian University in mm-hmm. Zambia. I believe when they started that school, they actually called him specifically to hopefully fill that role for him because they really wanted him. So his whole family moved from the States.
When they created that school they were thinking of him? Really? Okay.
if I'm remembering when I heard that story right. But his whole family, and he has, I forget, it's either 7 or 9 kids.
It is a lot, whatever it is, yeah.
And most of them are adopted. They moved from the States. He's from the States, and they moved to Zambia. They've been there for a couple of years now.
Okay.
VodiBakum.org. Look him up. Apple Podcasts, he's on there, whole thing.
Yeah.
Vody Bakum.
Yeah, I think with Vody, I also came across him with his sermons. And I don't know if he was involved in, like, the cultural stuff prior to, like, more recent events.
Was he?
He was involved. We just weren't aware. But, you know, obviously, like, I feel like that's what you mean by controversies. Like, his voice is now a voice that is, I don't know if respected, but it's definitely one that he wants to be heard in these conversations around critical race theory, abortion, LGBTQ culture. So it's interesting.
He's been talking about this stuff for years.
Yeah.
Like more than 10 years.
Okay.
Been warning about, you know, cultural Marxism and this stuff. Okay. Weeding its way into the church.
Right.
And now it's just full blown everywhere.
Right.
And so that's why it seems like he's like on it all the time now.
Right. Right.
But he's actually has been talking about it for years.
True.
Which in the book he actually gets a lot more in detail on that.
Okay.
Number two.
Yeah. What you got?
And I just got done telling you before we started recording that back a couple weeks ago when we came up with this idea for the top five, I knew immediately who my top two were, but up until I wrote this note, right before we started recording, I didn't know who I was going to pick for number
just
one.
Just figured this out.
So it's really like 1A, 1B
gotcha.
For me.
Yeah, yeah.
But number two I have on my list is Charles or Chuck Swindoll.
Mm.
An OG.
Okay.
I only say that because he's like 80-something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
But,
yeah.
I really like him. I like him a lot. I like him. He is very, he's very kind and gentle,
mm-hmm.
while at the same time still having all the characteristics I've already talked about of being sharp,
yeah.
and convicting, not afraid to say truth, or back down from it.
Right.
But he's one of those rare types of people where he can say that, but you know that he's doing it totally out of love and kindness,
right.
and that's like actually his genuine position.
For sure. Yeah.
So he's the pastor of Stonebriar Community Church in Texas, and I also noticed three of these guys on my list are from Texas.
Putting out some good preachers.
I don't know.
How often do you listen to Chuck Swindoll?
There was a period of time, probably last year, where I was listening to him almost every day.
Gotcha, yeah.
Right now, because I've kind of
broadened the
added to yeah. my amount of different podcasts I listen to and still do a lot of audiobooks and stuff.
Right.
I don't listen to him I don't really listen to, you know, any one person every
exclusively,
day.
Exclusively, right.
Yeah. But anyway, I probably listen to him once or twice a week.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if is he still in ministry? Is he still?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He's like yeah. pastor in a church still?
Still, every week.
Okay. Yeah, fun fact about him, and I found this out while I was at a conference for the EFCA, which is the Evangelical Free Church of America. Chuck Swindoll was a part of that that conference or that denomination, which they don't even call themselves a denomination. But anyway, long story short, that association of churches became more popular, I guess, because of Chuck Swindoll being within the, you know, and I was a part of that association of churches for a while. So fun fact.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's one of those big guys that, he's been preaching like more than 50 years.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't know. I don't remember how I got started on him. I might have just been looking up random sermons. I don't know.
I feel like, yeah, especially for our generation, that's somebody you just stumble across. I mean, nobody's.
Yeah.
You know.
But, yeah. I mean, throughout the years, he's written a million books. He has a study Bible. He has commentaries sure. for at least the whole New Testament, and I'm not sure, it might be the whole Bible, but at least the New Testament. I got I have one. It's upstairs. Yeah, Chuck Swindoll.
Well, you got a one.
I like him a lot. Number one.
No.
Tony Evans.
Hey, okay.
Well, you knew that was coming.
No, I didn't.
You had to know that was coming if he wasn't on my list already.
Well, yeah, I guess. I would have been surprised if he was not in your top five for sure. But I wasn't really thinking in him. I think Aaron in one. I'm like, okay. But all right, that's what's up. Tell me why.
Tony Evans. I like it. Okay. Let me see if I can make this make sense. He, because of his loud, energetic style, he's different than what I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
So that probably adds to some of why I like him a lot. But he also has he's very good at making complex ideas very simple.
Yeah.
and he just I call him a bar king.
Why?
Because he has one-liners. He's every sermon he's
true,
got like 10 or 20 one-liners.
Yeah,
where it's just like you just drop the mic.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's a normal thing for him.
Yeah,
and you know that to me is just a gift.
Yeah, for sure.
To be able to have a very energetic, you know, loud and a appealing, attractive
right.
style and presentation, but also again, not stay away from hard topics or hard ideas or hard scriptures. But even when he goes to those parts of the Bible, he has a way to just make it make sense.
Right.
And make it simple.
Yeah, I think, and Alan Parr said this when he did his top five as well. The way he explained it was perfect. I mean, obviously in the black church, the hooping and hollering, as Alan Parr called it, is like a staple, you know. But Tony Evans is a breath of fresh air, not only for people outside of that the black church and that culture, but people in it as well, because historically, the hooper and the hollering didn't have a lot of theological depth. Mm-hmm. Tony Evans has the theological depth, and those one-liners are theologically true.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people chasing the one-liners, like Stephen Furtick, or like, you know, the popular, I call them YouTube pastors. There's people that actually think these people are their pastors, and mm-hmm. they're not. But they're just, anyway, those pastors are looking for those one-liners to sound good, not necessarily be theologically true or biblically accurate or whatever. Yeah. But Tony Evans, because of, and you know, he's also what the first,
he was the first black PhD graduate of right. Dallas Theological Seminary.
Right. So, and not to say that the hoop and hollerings don't have degrees, but, but it's a big deal.
I get you.
From Dallas Theological Seminary, which we know to be very conservative theologically.
Yeah.
It is a big deal.
But super deep.
Yeah.
And exactly. Chuck Swindoll comes from there too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Tony Evans is, he has done so much for, I'm almost finished, his book right now, Kingdom Men Rising. Mm. And in one of the chapters, he was talking about, you know, how to go about impacting your community around you. And he talks how he went from a younger guy being not, because he's black, being not allowed to go onto a golf course that he right. wanted to go onto, to later on in life, through his ministry, they ended up actually buying that golf course.
Really?
And they turned it into a part of their ministry.
Oh, wow.
And within that local Dallas, it's Dallas, Texas, Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship is a church. Hmm. They're involved in so many different aspects, and they have so many programs
right.
that just are there to help build up the community. So right. not just present the gospel, but like do a whole bunch of other stuff.
Right. Right.
And you know, just helping people and teaching them how to do basic life stuff, you right. know, give them skills and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just really cool. Really yeah. cool how God's hand is, you can, if you know anything of a story, God's hand is all over Tony Evans.
Yeah.
And his conviction is towards building up men, but also family mm-hmm. in general. It's just really cool. He was actually the first black guy to have a published study Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is right here.
Show that John off.
Yeah. Tony Evans study Bible. And with that, this is the full Bible, Tony Evans commentary.
Yeah.
So, you know, same notes in the study Bible, but a little
more in depth.
And again, throughout the years, you know, because he's been at this for 40 years almost.
Yeah.
Has a ton of books. Yeah. One of the really dope things that he has and his ministry has, they have an app that,
yep.
They have an app that you can obviously put on your phone or whatever, but, I believe it's called the Tony Evans Training Center.
I believe so, yeah.
And they have some free courses on there you can take. And they also have, you know, paid like certificate programs and things like that that you can take.
Yeah.
It's just, it's really dope.
Yeah. No, I think that's awesome because your list actually does take into account, because like you said, you looked at it as preachers who have been ordained as pastors or have had the role of pastor within a church. Mm-hmm. And some of your reasonings for why they're on that list are pastoral reasons. Like, it's not just simply like a good Bible teacher. And so to that point, I think that's, you know, that makes sense that Tony Evans, you know, with all those reasons of actually doing ministry and building up the community is a pastoral work and not just a Bible teaching work. So I definitely understand why your list is the way it is, and that's dope. So
sweet.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna get into mine, I guess.
Let's jump.
All right. So my top five, now I'll be careful how I say it. Top five Bible teachers.
I know why you're about to be careful, but we'll get there.
Top five Bible teachers. So I focused on more of who has made the most impact on my life. And, you know, in terms of their teaching, I don't necessarily know how they are as pastors. Some of them aren't pastors, which I guess we'll get into as well. I guess we'll just jump right into it.
Number five.
Yeah. So number five recently came into my life, and not literally, but his teaching has come into my life, and he's number five on my list because, well, I'll tell you who it is first. So it's going to be R.C. Sproul. Okay. So
powerhouse.
R.C. Sproul has been recently just a staple that I've gone to. He has such, and I think part of the reason he's had such a big impact is just the amount of theological resources that he has available is just so vast that it's like, how does he not make an impact?
Yeah.
You know, and I think you read one of his books and you automatically want to know what he has to say about the next topic or the next topic. And obviously I know a big popular one for him is The Holiness of God, I think it's called. People love that book. I've not even taken a stab at that yet because I've just heard it's so difficult to read through. But
I actually have it on my shelf upstairs.
Yeah.
I've never opened it.
But. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's what I literally opened it one time just to like get a gist of the read. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to put that up. I'm gonna wait. But it's one of those things that you really like, you know, we're both people that have like constant, you know, resources that we want to consume. Mm-hmm. We have like a whole list. And it's one of those books I feel like in anything really R.C. Sproul puts out is really one of those things where you have to focus on that solely. Your mind's got to be on that solely to really take all of it in. And I mean, like I said, I have like he's gotten like expositions, I guess you call it, on like the, what is it, the confessions, like Westminster Confessions or Catechisms or whatever. And, you know, called Truths We Confess, which I just recently got. And been tracking through that. Which is super dope. There's just so much content that he provides. And for the amount of content that he provides, it's very much rooted in orthodoxy. Like, you have, like, I don't know, all these theologians or whatever that have all this stuff. But there's always that one thing that's like, yeah, they're a little heretical on that, or they're a little far left or far right on that. And it's like, I don't know, you know, controversy comes along with them. But R.C. Sproul, I don't really feel like, if anything, you know, he's a Calvinist, like, you know, people got a problem with that. But, you know, for the most part, he's rooted in orthodoxy. And, you know, I think.
I mean, you got to be a Calvinist to be a Christian, right?
Well, we're going to skip that conversation. But yeah, so that's number five on my list.
Speaking of that real quick, yeah. I think only two people on my list are Calvinists.
Fodi?
Durbin and Bauckham.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I see that.
Interesting.
That is interesting. I think my whole list is Calvinist or Reformed, I'll call it. I hate the word Calvinist. But yeah, so that's R.C. Sproul.
Confession.
Yeah.
I've never listened to an entire Sproul sermon.
Really? Bruh.
I've never
I've never even started to read or listen to any Sproul book.
Bro, you're missing.
I basically don't have any Sproul content.
Yeah. I can change that. I got some stuff for you. Just be careful. You might end up, you know, reformed or something. So I'm going to jump to number four. Number four, I got Paul David Tripp.
Okay.
Familiar with the guy?
Yeah, I have his parenting book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's definitely somebody who upholds the family structure. Paul David Tripp, he's on my list. He's also somebody who's came, I feel like I've recently gotten to his content. Known he's existed for a while, but recently, just as my search to be specifically a better man of God in the family context, just man of God in general, his content's come up a lot and has been super convicting. The way he upholds scripture and the way, honestly, he's highlighted the destructiveness of sin, like, has just resonated with me. And it's just caused me to really, like, uphold the doctrine specifically of sanctification, I guess. And so his ability to be able to uphold scripture in such a way that, like, doesn't hold punches, essentially, or try to make me as the listener or audience feel better about myself and just, you know, basically feel like crap so that you can ultimately be better. You know, I've appreciated that in this particular season of my life. And actually, fun fact, ran into him one time at a Toby Mac concert. yeah, which was super dope. And this is before I was really taking in his content. This is like, yo, that dude looks super familiar. Like, I've seen that guy. And I knew I see him, like, on TV. Like, it was a TV thing. I was like, I've seen that guy. Not in person, but, like, on TV. And I'm looking at him, and the name just popped up, Paul David Tripp. And I remember, like, getting in the car afterwards to leave, and I'm like, look that dude up. And that's when it just took off, and I was like, yo, this guy is the real deal. Yeah, so his content's definitely shaped my Bible learning.
Again, not a guy that I've consumed a lot of content from.
Yeah. I think that's dope that, you know, we're so close, and we really don't really have the same...
Yeah, like, We talk every day.
Yeah.
And we talk about, like, this kind of stuff every day. So that's why it is a little weird that we don't have a crossover of any
super
people.
Interesting.
I honestly thought at least Tony Evans was going to be... Oh, well, I just gave away that he's not on your list, but...
Well, no. Yeah. He's not on my list. He's an honorable mention, though.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't write him down, but I do have one or two honorable mentions.
Yeah, yeah. We got for sure. So number three. This is also why I said Bible teachers. Jackie Hill Perry. Now we'll get into why I said Bible teachers in a second. But the reason Jackie Hill Perry is on my list.
I know some people are waiting for me to say something.
Yeah, I know. Before Aaron and Aaron's crew chimes in, the reason she's on my list, the way that she communicates the holiness of God is dope. Like, super dope. I mean, most people know her story. Others would call her an ex-homosexual. And so she lived a homosexual gay lifestyle, and essentially grew up in the church. But I guess eventually she had to pursue God herself. And as she did that, she realized if God is truly holy, then who cares what my feelings are and my affections are towards whatever, you know, in her case, homosexuality. And that, you know, and I don't struggle with that particular sin, if you will. But for someone to be able to say, I'm going to put aside all that my flesh feels because God is actually holy and this is real and this is true, like, that is just super dope. And, like, I've basically all, and most of her content is centered around that. Like, it really is. Like,
yeah.
I don't think she can really get away from that just because of her testimony. But yeah, that's why she's number three on my list. And I've just purchased her last book, which is Holier Than Thou.
I just added it to my Audible list.
Yeah, so I'm like a couple chapters in. I've got a highlight on every, you know, one of those books, a highlight on every page. Like, and she's just she's a poet, so it's like, you know, she's got the bars, the one-liners, you know. So
yeah, she's for what I call Tony Evans a bar king. She's probably that for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's like same thing with his book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare. I probably have more of it highlighted than I don't.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Jackie O'Perry, she's very good.
Yeah.
No, she's definitely. Very good. She
now go ahead.
Her her first book, Gay Girl Good God,
yeah.
was amazing.
Yep.
And needed.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah, so I was gonna mention, because we're gonna have some people comment, and I'm sure, you know, want to know why we're being so specific about that. Is I think Aaron and I both come from the biblical understanding that female pastors are
the biblical truth.
Yeah, sure. If you want to, you know, jab it in there. Yeah, our biblical understanding is that women are not called to hold the office of pastors. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to comment on that just for 2 seconds. I just wanted to define pastor for a second, because I had this conversation with a friend recently. Okay. And I was like, the issue is not so much that, like, I don't know, that women can't do it. They're just not called to. It's not their role, right? Exactly. Like, it's just and it's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean they're not capable of something or they're lesser than or whatever. It's just not their role. And then also, we also have a very skewed understanding of what pastor is. Like, people think pastor and they think, oh, Bible teacher. Bible teaching is, like, one of, and it probably, not to minimize Bible teaching at all because it's super important, but it's probably one of the lesser roles of a pastor. When, in terms of, and what I mean by that is, like, if somebody's
pastor.
Right. I mean, but if somebody's called to the pastorate, I don't think God's calling them because they're a good Bible teacher. God's calling them because they're a good shepherd of people, of men and women and children. And they're good spiritual caretakers. And that's why God has called them to that office. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's – and so, I don't know. Yeah, and so that's why I think, like, there's this separation. And I do – I say that to say, I do believe women should be teachers. I believe women should be ministers in terms of – and when I say minister, ministering the gospel. But, again, not necessarily in the role of the shepherd of the church, or the under-shepherd, I should say. What you got?
Yes. Well, I was just looking at one of the pastor or elder passages in scriptures from Titus 1. Titus 1:7. As God's steward, an overseer must be above reproach, not self-absorbed, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not greedy for money. Instead, he must be hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the faithful word as it was taught, so that he can encourage others by sound teaching and refute those who contradict it.
Hmm. Was husband and one wife on there? In that Titus? I think that's in Timothy, right?
That's in the Timothy.
Yeah. Now, what would you say, this is kind of a side note caveat from the top five, obviously, but what would you say to the response that women are to speak in the church? That's more of a tough,
let me see,
deeper route.
Well, let's just read it then.
I think it's in 2 Corinthians 4.
Well, here's part of it.
Oh, go ahead.
Or one.
Yeah.
1 Timothy 2. I'll just start 9. Likewise, I want the women to adorn themselves with respectable apparel, with modesty and with self-control, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds, as is proper for women who profess to worship God. Verse 11. A woman must learn in quietness and full submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. She is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first and then Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman who was deceived and fell into transgression. Women, however, will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control.
Hmm. Yeah.
So putting our you know, cultural, whatever we have built up in our mm-hmm. modern cultural Western mindset
right.
towards how we view things, that makes dealing with what I just read really tough.
Right.
Now, one of the – I know that one of the scapegoats for that – and I'm we don't need to go, like, too deep on this.
Sure.
No, yeah. This isn't the point. I also don't want to downgrade – I don't want to downplay Jackie Hill Perry.
Yeah, for sure.
But I know one of the scapegoats that a lot of people will just use is this is just Paul writing to a specific church at a right. specific time, and this is what he's saying for them,
right?
Not necessarily for all Christians of all time,
right?
You know, I don't know, yeah. But my thing is, if you're going to go that route, then. Wouldn't you have to do that with the whole rest of the book?
Right.
Like, how can you why would you cherry pick just one part of it?
For sure.
But then, you know, any other time you want to reference scripture from 1 Timothy or Timothy, whatever.
Right.
Or any of Paul's letters, because they're all the different churches. Churches,
right. Yeah.
If you're going that route, you can't use them for anything.
Right. Yeah.
So, but then you come back to the tough conversation of, well, listen to what I just read.
Right.
I don't know fully. I don't necessarily have a great answer.
No, and I think it's always good to have a I don't knows. We're all trying to learn. That's the whole point, right? Is understand what Scripture says and uphold it as authoritative, regardless of what we feel about it. So, which brings me to number two. Number two on my list is John Piper.
I knew who was going to be on your list.
Yeah, of course. John Piper... he's on every Calvinist list. So,
I mean, he wrote the like 800-page Providence book. He
bro, has to be. I was going to mention that's a primary reason alone that he is on this list. He was going to be on this list regardless, just based off of his teachings, the content that he has, Desire and God Ministry. You know, obviously he's pastored churches, but yeah, I mean, there's just the way that he teaches satisfaction and joy is kind of his main thing, is human emotion toward God. It's kind of his, I don't know, his shtick, the people call it.
You can tell he's genuine.
Yeah. His love towards people. Yeah, for sure. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like he has such a joy when he's preaching. And he could be like teaching literally like total depravity. And he's so happy about it.
Yeah.
Like he's so, but like, you know, it's just there's this joy that he teaches with, and I think that's just super dope. It makes you really like desire God, you know, no pun intended. So, I just think that's awesome. Providence, though, book is so I'm nowhere near finished. It's like literally 750 pages or 800 pages, something like that. But it is so thorough and so like you really can't can't knock it. It's so good.
I mean, it's basically, would you say it's basically a summary of his life work?
Well, kind of. He definitely said that, I don't know about life's work, but he definitely said that he sat down, I'll put it this way, he called it a holistic exposition on the topic, mm-hmm. meaning he literally went through every single page of the Bible and highlighted providence. And so he goes through every single like part of the Bible that could basically highlight God's providence and basically exposed it like, and did an exegetical, you know, expository, whatever you want to call it, on that act of providence, which is crazy to think of. And I think he said he went through the scripture like multiple times to do that and realize like, you know, he had the, you know, at one point you're like everything in here, like you can highlight the whole Bible, obviously, like because that's, if you understand what providence is, I mean, that's just God's sovereignty basically mm-hmm. over every single thing that happened, good and bad, you know, to bring about a specific purpose. But I mean, and that's, it's been a theological concept in this season of my life. That's just been super dope to hold on to. And obviously, so, been listening to a lot of John Piper for sure lately. John Piper, the old guy.
He reminds me of like what I said about Chuck Swindoll, where just
amount of time
can be again talking about something hard, sharp, convicting,
yeah,
but is coming off very kind, tender-hearted, gentle, and just genuine.
You ever seen the video of him? He was speaking to the Christian Psychology Association. And so he's speaking to the Christian Psychology Association, to your point. And he started off by just basically like speaking to psychologists. So instead of you having to psychoanalyze me, I'm essentially going to tell you about myself. I'm a sinner. You know, came up here and I was nervous. I was scared, whatever. They all took it as a joke. And they were just cracking up as if this was like a comedy skit. And he was so confused. He was like, he kept calling it. I was like, I'm not sure why you guys are laughing. And they just laughed more. I got to send that to you. But yeah, but again, he's just so, it's almost like he's so real that you just don't believe it. Like you just, he's so, but
it's a rare thing now.
Yeah. I mean, he literally just went up there and he was being so serious when he was just like, I'm a sinner. Like I don't love my wife well. I was super scared to come up here. I don't think I'm a good teacher. Like he just was super honest and raw about it, and he was being so serious and like just trying to be honest with them. And he's just such a kind-hearted, you know, likable guy. I guess you just assume that he's not being that. I don't know, direct. I don't know, but yeah, they all took it as a joke, and it's quite funny and convicting at the same time. But yeah. For sure.
I have consumed a little bit of John Piper content. Yeah. He's obviously very Calvinist heavy.
Yeah, for sure.
One thing, I don't know if you necessarily, you probably do, but because you're a Calvinist, you may not, you may not pick this up like I do. Mm. But from an outsider looking in onto Calvinism,
yeah,
and Calvinists, and right, how you guys handle yourselves.
Sure.
You, a strong Calvinist seems to always have to make it clear that they're a Calvinist.
Mm.
And it comes through all the time.
Yeah.
And he's definitely one of them that,
yeah,
that, from what I've seen, that does that. Now, again, like, I can still, that doesn't mean that I won't listen to him or I don't even like listening to him.
Right.
It's just something that I can recognize as I'm right, listening.
Yeah. Well, I think with Reformed theology, Calvinism, I feel like it hangs on God's sovereignty, right? Like, that's kind of the main point of Calvinism, if you will. And so with that, it touches on everything else that you preach. Like that your view of God's sovereignty is going to shape everything else you believe about every other doctrine. Exactly. It's just one of those natures. That part of God's nature is just, I don't know. Yeah. It's just one of those things that it does come out. I think no matter what you're teaching on, you're going to hear that in that teaching.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do think it's one of those things. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
Hmm.
But I hate the word Calvinism. That's whatever. That's why I always refer to it as Reformed theology, because it's just like, it does have that kind of, it comes along with a, I don't know, what would you call it? Like a reputation when you say you're a Calvinist. Because the most people run into a Calvinist for the first time, and my experience was the same way. The first time I ran into anybody called a Calvinist and they were talking about the opposite being Arminianism, I thought they were talking about the country. And I had no idea what this stuff, you know, stuff was. And so, but my experience with this person who claimed to be a Calvinist was just like, they were so, I mean, it was just so extreme. It was just like, God hates everybody else that's not a Christian. Like, he hates them. Like, they're dirt. Like, God wants to stomp them. And like, and I was just like, what? Like, what Bible are you reading? Like I just like could not take it seriously whatsoever. So it is amazing that, you know, God has brought me to a place in my theological, you know, journey that I would consider myself a Reformed person. But, yeah, I do think that there's this like, there's this arrogance that Calvinists can have, because of, which is so backwards, because Reformed theology in general is literally,
you should be
humble. Completely, I'm like, I've offered nothing to my salvation. Yeah. I'm dirt. God decided to save me. I've done nothing. So like, how can we be arrogant? But yeah, that's kind of the reputation that comes along with it. But yeah. So.
But John Piper's dope.
John Piper is dope. Now my number one, is basically just like a mini John Piper. And I only say mini because he's younger, more relevant to our age group, I believe. And so my number one is Matt Chandler from the Village Church.
Not Stephen Furtick?
No, get out of here with that. he's also from Texas. So popping out some good Bible
Texas
teachers.
Heavy.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Interesting.
What's also interesting about that is Matt Chandler would also say that though they would be considered the Bible Belt of the nation, he feels like the Bible Belt is actually pretty spiritually bankrupt. That because everybody thinks they're Christians because they're living the Bible Belt.
I can see that.
Which goes along with part of the reason why I like Matt Chandler. He's not afraid to say what Scripture says, essentially. Knowing
what
he knows
will make you uncomfortable.
Right. Knowing specifically who his audience is, too. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, knowing exactly his audience, let's be real, is mostly politically conservative, mostly Republican, just to go there. And yet he will challenge that often. Not to say, you know, literally the last one I listened to, he literally said, "I'm glad you're politically conservative," like genuinely, but God doesn't care about that. Like, he just doesn't care about your political conservatism. Are you saved? Was his point in this particular sermon. And, you know, so like the fact he's not afraid to make people uncomfortable for the benefit of their spiritual state. Right, like he hopes that you would be saved, and so like you genuinely feel that he's coming across genuinely for the spiritual health of the listener or the audience that he's teaching, and so, yeah. So Matt Chandler's just been dope.
It keeps the main thing the main thing.
Keeps the main thing the main thing, but also like, and I feel like, and that's the thing too. I feel like if you're sitting in his congregation or you're taking in his teaching, you could be somebody who's deep in theology, and you're pulling deep theological concepts out of his teaching. But if you have no idea, you haven't, you know, really delved into like theological concepts like that, and you're just kind of like learning the Bible, you're still getting the point. Yeah, like, you're not missing stuff's not not going over your head. Like, it's still, and I don't know how he does it. Like, I really don't know how he does it, but I genuinely feel like that's the way he teaches, and it's just so relevant, and he's passionate, obviously. You know, and I think he's also like this Reformed theology, Calvinism, is really growing in our age group, I feel like. And I watched a documentary not that long ago that also touched on this, but I feel like he's also a big reason for that. The way he teaches it doesn't come across as fire and brimstone. That God hates sin so much that you guys are just all going to hell because you're sinners. And like, that's all they teach. It's kind of what the, you know, fire and brimstone messages, I guess. But the way he teaches it is with hope, which is what it should be, right? Like, we have a hope, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, and I feel like it's just more receptive to our generation. And I feel like people would be more open to the gospel when there's hope and not, oh, I'm just going to hell because I'm a sinner, obviously, which we shouldn't be, which is ridiculous. You know, that's not a gospel at all. It's not good news. What else do I have here? Yeah, he doesn't care about my feelings. It's actually part of the reason why he's number one on my list. So you're just going to teach me what.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah, I can definitely appreciate that. So,
yeah.
Matt Chandler. Yeah. And also appreciate, and this is back to the why these aren't pastors. It's why it's also not one of the reasons he's number one. But I will say, from a distance, the way that he pastors his church, the way that he has called out things that have happened in his church with abuse of power, the way he's addressed it from the pulpit is admirable. The emphasis on spiritual depth of biblical literacy is a huge, I have a huge appreciation for that because that's kind of where my heart is.
Big part within of discipleship.
Yeah, exactly. Within the local church. So, you know, and again, I've never stepped foot in that church, never been to Texas. So, you know, I don't know this firsthand, but, you know, I can appreciate what I can see from a distance as his pastoral responsibility and role. And it's also a big reason why I do appreciate him as a Bible teacher. So,
Yeah.
Very reformed list.
I need to... I think I need to... listen to more Matt Chandler and R.C. Sproul. I think I might start with R.C. Sproul just because he's an OG.
Definitely.
And I literally have not listened to anything of R.C. Sproul.
There's so much out there. Like, you can get, yeah, like, if, you know, a sermon, or he actually has, like, teachings that he's, like, not in a church setting, but, like, actual teachings on, yeah, certain doctrines. And, you know, so it's, yeah, just, there's so much there that you can plug into and get. Yeah, for sure. Hmm. Honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions.
Let me throw them out there. So all my honorable mentions, I realize, are still Reformed. I thought maybe I'd throw a couple in there. But Tony Evans, like I said earlier, is on my honorable mentions. Which, I guess he wouldn't be Reformed. I would say he's probably
more. I honestly,
that's tough.
I tried to think about that earlier. I don't know.
That's tough. I mean,
I don't know how he would. I don't know what I would say.
That's interesting. We'll have to figure that out.
I know he's
not that it's important, but
I know he's very kingdom.
Yeah, very kingdom mindset.
So I don't know how that works.
With,
I mean, you went to Dallas Theological Seminary, which is Reformed,
right?
Is it?
Well, I would say conservative. I don't know if, yeah, they would even say Reformed, but definitely conservative in their theology.
That's a good question. Actually, now I'm thinking of it. I don't think they are Reformed.
Yeah, I don't know,
Or at least not Calvinists.
Right.
Well, who knows? Because some of the teachers probably are.
Right, of course. Yeah, I mean, yeah, most seminaries have kind of a good variety, I guess, but are known for their whatever. But, yeah, that's interesting. Jen Wilkin is another teacher, Bible teacher, which a lot of people aren't too familiar with her. She actually works in the Village Church under Matt Chandler, okay, and she is a big part of their discipleship program. Her and another pastor, JT English, kind of built a discipleship program that focused on biblical literacy within the local church, and that's how I came across Jen. Super dope teacher. I've just gained a lot from listening to her. She's got a lot of resources out as well.
I've never heard that name before.
Yeah, most of her resources are, like, her written resources are directed at women. So any women that want to, you know, some Bible studies or readings, check her out. Francis Chan is another one that's had a pretty decent impact on my spiritual growth. Now, it's funny because he was definitely Reformed, and most people would say he was Reformed. Recently, he's actually gotten some flack for, like, not being Reformed enough.
I was going to say, I know he's I know he's been on, like, he's been on, over the years, he's been on both sides of the controversy.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I think, and that's actually, I actually appreciate him more for that, because
I kind of do too.
The things that he's actually, because what it shows is that he's upholding scripture above everything. Like, I don't care what camp, yeah, I come from. I don't care about what I've been taught or what I've accepted for so long. If scripture challenges me on what I've thought for so long, scripture wins. Like, I'm not going to let my own feelings or history dictate what I believe. Scripture is telling me. Scripture tells me what it tells me. And I feel like that's what he's technically going at when he develops and progresses in his theology. So,
yeah, I heard something from him recently, and this was a thing that he caught a lot of flack for,
mm-hmm,
where he had said, well, two things. One that he had, from his travelings overseas, he had seen miracles happen, healings and all.
Right.
And then the thing that he really got a lot of flack for was because he had said, again, on those travelings and stuff, he said that that he had actually done some healings. And while he's saying it, he's like, you could tell he was uncomfortable.
Right.
He was like, I didn't know what was happening. Yeah. I was freaking out.
Right.
But all I know is that these people had this problem, or they were sick or whatever.
Right.
And I, like, the Holy Spirit was just working through me, and then all of a sudden they were healed. Yeah. And I was like, I was freaking out. And so, yeah, I take that for whatever. But,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely some of the things he said recently, you would hear normally from the Pentecostal camp,
mm-hmm,
charismatic camp.
Yeah.
And so obviously those two, I mean, you can't get more opposite than Reformed camp, yeah, and Calvinist camp and the, you know, charismatic side. And so, but again, that just shows that, like, it's almost, to bring in politics, but it's almost like you don't have to, the fact that you don't live on one side of a camp and just basically, you know, how you check all the boxes on one, you know, you're voting, you check all blue or all red or whatever. Like, the fact that you can live on both shows that you're an independent thinker. And in this case, not so much an independent thinker, but
no,
a Bible thinker, right? Yeah. Like a person that says, I'm going to pull with the Bible and whatever it teaches, even if it makes me uncomfortable, to your point, you know, about him being uncomfortable. And I remember seeing that. Yeah.
Mike Winger plug.
Ah, Mike Winger didn't make it on our list. Sorry, Mike. But he's
well, see, he wouldn't have been on my list. Well, no, I guess he would have been because he was a pastor.
Yeah, he was a pastor.
Okay, he's an honorable
mention. I throw him in there. I've appreciated his teaching. I have a lot of disagreements with Mike Winger. I think people know that.
He's not a Calvinist.
Probably. He's actually really – he's really – I'll put it this way. He's done a very good and thorough job of laying out why someone should not be a Calvinist and why the Bible – he believes the Bible does not teach Reformed thought around salvation. I would say he's done it. Okay. I respect his pursuit, his biblical pursuit. I'll put it that way. And then Charles Spurgeon is actually my last honorable mention. And the only reason he's on my list, and that's weird because it's like you can't listen to Charles Spurgeon YouTube videos, right? Like, you know, it's like not a thing. Oh, you got
Spurgeon.
Look at that, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
He's got all the resources. So Charles Spurgeon's on my list mainly because I came across this ministry. I think it's called Spurgeon Books on like Instagram or something, and like they put a bunch of like Spurgeon quotes up. And so
I follow
like,
too.
Yeah. And so
I screenshot them almost every day.
Yeah. Because they're so dope. And they're normally like themed, right?
Yeah.
And so like they think a bunch of them together in the same themes or whatever. And like I've been using those some like partially as a like a what do you call it? Devotional. But then also like they have a I don't know if you signed up for like the emails, whatever. I signed up for their emails. They send emails of like prayers by Spurgeon. And so like I'll literally read, you know, I don't know if they're written prayers or if he said these before or whatever. But I'll read through them, and they're so theologically rich, like the prayers themselves, that like I'll read them before I actually like go into prayer, like praying through them, and I'm like learning as I'm reading the prayer, like thinking deeply about theology, about who God is, and whatever. And it's just super dope. And I've, you know, also got like commentary, like a verse, and then the commentary, his commentary on the verse, each day as well. So yeah, I've been using those. Like a lot of people use what's it called? What's the most popular devotion that people use all the time? Something, something, something.
The U version?
Nope. That's going to kill me. Something for Utmost for His Highest. Well, I can't remember who wrote that. What is the guy's name? I don't know. Utmost for His Highest is actually one of the most popular devotions that's ever been. I think it's like most bought or purchased, you know, devotional. But anyway.
Is that Spurgeon?
No, I don't think so. It's... if I hear the guy's name, I'm gonna be so mad. But anyway, I would liken that. That's what this has become for me. Like just like an everyday devotion that's theologically rich and starts off my day well.
So, do you have the Spurgeon morning and evening?
What's that?
Come on, bro.
What is that?
You gonna go all Spurgeon and not know what that is?
No, I don't know what that is.
That's his morning and evening devotionals books.
He's got an actual devotional book.
I
gotta tap into that.
Morning and evening, you know, devotion written out.
Yeah.
For every day of the year.
See, and that's just like Utmost. Like it's high. Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, say no more. I'll swap you for some R.C. Sproul stuff.
I actually have two sets.
Word.
Was that all your honorable mentions?
Yeah, that's all my
Spurgeon.
You had a few.
Preachers.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's dope. Yeah. Alistair Begg is another dope preacher. He's the one who was in charge of the whole Spurgeon study Bible and that whole thing.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. So I knew you used to both of us used to be big fans of this guy. My first honorable mention.
Okay.
And then both of us for our own reasons or maybe similar reasons went away from him. But I figured I'd just mention his name.
Sure.
Judah Smith.
Yeah.
So
I haven't forgotten about you, Judah.
So he obviously, and even saying him might surprise some people.
Yeah.
Because he falls in line with, like, the, you know, the celebrity Hollywood pastor has a bunch of celebrity friends, and it's well known that he's best friends with Bieber.
Right.
Has a huge church, you know, the whole thing. Probably about 2 years ago, I went on a big, like, I was on Judah Smith for a couple months, heavy. Mm-hmm. Really like his presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was, like, he didn't say anything that, you know, I thought was terrible or heretical or anything. Right. That's obviously why I kept listening to him. I still wouldn't necessarily say that I think he's gone heretical, you know, or said crazy stuff. I got really tired of, he uses the Message Bible a lot during his sermons. And then even he went one step past that more recently, worse, and started using the Passion Translation, which is from Bethel Church. And that's got a whole, I mean, you can YouTube people breaking down the Passion Translation, the whole thing. It's just horrible.
Yeah.
And the Message Translation really isn't a translation of the Bible. So I understand, like, he's trying to do those things to appeal. He's trying to appeal to people who aren't church people.
Right. Which I can appreciate.
Because quite honestly, in his environment, that is probably a lot of the people that are attend his services.
Right.
But I'm not that. I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just figured I'd throw out his name. Because, you know, in the last couple of years, he was somebody I did listen to a lot. I don't anymore.
And he's under, well, I don't even know what's going on with them, but he's under Hillsong Churches. Like, I'll put it this way. He says Brian Houston is his pastor. That's always kind of bothered me.
Yeah. He says that also kind of in the way of, like, you know, how I would say, I don't know, Chuck Swindoll's my pastor.
I don't think so. I mean, they
have more of a relationship, but it's,
well, that's what I'm saying. I feel like he's saying, like, this is my mentor. Like,
So I think we're too loose with the term somebody's my pastor.
Okay. I would agree.
Because I think you need to be very specific in that your pastor is the guy that you interact with on a local basis, on a regular basis. That's your pastor.
Well, who would that be for him? I genuinely think he thinks that's
that
Brian Houston.
That would probably be...
Because, I mean...
So, well, that's the other... That goes into another thing of, you know, pastors need to make sure that they have...
Accountability.
Mentors and accountability and things like that. Brian Houston, isn't he in Australia?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. Can't get much farther than
that. I mean... I don't know. I got you. I'm sure they have a good relationship and all that kind of stuff.
But that's also my fear, is that, like, he genuinely thinks that's his pastor, and therefore he doesn't have local accountability. Not to say that he doesn't, like, have people around him that are working in the church that, you know.
Yeah,
but.
I've heard Stephen Furtick say that T.D. Jakes is his pastor.
Right. Okay.
No, he's not.
Right. Yeah.
So that's a whole other thing. But another one. Okay. You ready for this one?
Go for it.
I've been waiting to talk about this guy.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
He has to be thrown out there because he's a huge name. He is Calvinist to the T.
Ooh.
For you.
Okay. Just for me.
He's on my list basically because I want to talk about him. I listen to him occasionally.
Okay.
Not very often, though. But he definitely is somebody that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. John MacArthur.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Johnny Mac.
Johnny Mac.
Yo, yeah.
Come on.
How
you going to miss him?
Well, I mean, I thought about it. Because,
like, okay, yeah. Backstory on Marcus with Johnny Mac.
Yeah.
Marcus started with a Johnny Mac study Bible.
Yes.
Still has it to this day.
Yeah.
And that's like his
go-to.
Yeah. And you've even told me before that you're so familiar with his notes, mm-hmm. and commentary and stuff on scripture,
yeah.
that like when you read scripture now, even if you don't have his commentary in front of you, you right. know what he's going to say about it.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So I did think about him. I knew he wasn't going to be in my top five. And that's mainly, and it could be because I have his study Bible, honestly, because I know his theology so well. Well enough where I know I disagree with him on quite a few things, being reformed and all, cool, great. And there's small things, I guess. Right. Mm-hmm. like I personally don't believe that the gifts have ceased. And so that's not a very normal reform. Yeah. That's not. Yeah. Let's fight. You know, so, you know, that's something I know we differ on, and John MacArthur, and there's just a few things, you know, has obviously been very, involved publicly with, you know, recently the pandemic and COVID and stuff like that. So I don't know. I feel like maybe I know too much about John MacArthur, and maybe that's why he's not on my list. But definitely well-respected teacher. Yeah, I definitely appreciate him.
You can hate him, but you can't deny that his conviction is towards this is what Bible says.
Yep.
To my yep. best understanding, I am going to say Bible.
Right.
And this again. This is how he's kind of comes off to yeah. me, at least. Is that he's going to say Bible and literally does not care how you handle that.
No.
That's
one.
Between you and God.
Not the congregation, not the That's, government. Like,
he
no.
He doesn't care.
No, not at all.
And I appreciate a level of that.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I think, quite honestly, like I think you have to have a lot of that to,
yeah.
you know, to actually be a good teacher and preacher.
Sure.
Because no matter what culture, no matter what year you're from, or you know your life is in this world, the Bible is countercultural.
Yeah.
To whatever it is you're Good around. Point. So anyway, I had to just throw him out there.
Yeah, no, hey. Solid.
Johnny Mac, and then I had another one. And now I'm forgetting who it was.
Another Calvinist.
But Johnny Mac was I knew him and Judah.
Yo, Judah.
Just saying those two back to back.
Yeah, yeah. Funny. Yeah, that is kind of funny. Judah Smith, though, by far, to this day, my favorite sermon of all time is a Judah Smith sermon. I've listened to this sermon probably more than 20 times.
Wow.
Not even kidding.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and... it's probably also the reason it was a sermon on the story of Hosea, and it's probably the reason Hosea was my favorite book of the Bible for the longest time. Yeah, super dope. I'll link that in the description below.
How about that'd be good. So how about we throw two other really big names out there? Because I don't know if you have any familiarity with them. First of all. Charles Stanley.
Familiar. Definitely familiar with him because, I mean, he's on TV on Sundays. Like, if you don't go to church, it's Charles Stanley you're listening to.
Father of Andy Stanley, in case you didn't know.
I did not know that, actually.
You didn't know that?
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. He's actually, I throw him in the same camp as kind of Swindoll. He's very meek and mild. But very theologically rich and accurate and convicting is what I meant to say.
His thing is wisdom. That's what he focuses on.
His kind of, true. Yeah.
He has a study Bible.
Hmm. And that's the thing. I mean, I love old people because they've just lived a life of that. How do you not have godly wisdom? Like, you just experience so much in relation with God that you just understand him in a certain way. You've experienced what I can only know biblically, right? Like, I know it because I've read it, not because I've experienced it. And there's people that have lived this life and experienced God in these ways. And it's super dope. So,
David Jeremiah.
Know the name?
For real?
Yeah, I know the name. Hold on. David Jeremiah. I think I just know the name.
He's the still David pastor on TV and stuff a lot. But solid, legit. But he his thing is prophecy. He focuses a lot on teaching on prophecy.
Really?
Yeah.
I gotta check him out.
And even current day stuff.
As in the prophetic as how it's used today. Like how
unlike current events and how it ties in with prophecy.
Ties in with biblical prophecy.
Biblical, yeah.
The prophecy that was prophesied in the Bible time.
Yes.
Okay. So not necessarily charismatic as in today.
People no.
Okay. Because that's what I thought when you said that.
No.
I was like, what?
No, he's not a prophet or claiming to be.
Right.
But
yeah. He's okay. All right. Gotcha. Okay. All right. I gotta check him out for sure. Yeah. Okay.
So no TD Jakes, nothing like that.
I was gonna say something, but I'm not gonna say that publicly. So.
I have actually listened to some TD Jakes.
I think there's
you
something.
Know what it is, bro?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've listened to way more TD Jakes than I have RC Sproul.
But that's not surprising. I mean, sometimes you just want to listen to like what are you? I've listened to Joel Osteen like just to listen to Joel Osteen just to be like what is he saying today? Those are
funny.
Whole other conversations, but yeah. God bless him. I pray that God will use him and that they preach the Bible. That's what I say. So that's our top five.
Top five.
Hope you guys enjoy it. Hope we put you guys on to some stuff. You know, some teachers that hopefully have a good impact on you as well. So
let's touch on. I know you want to close up, but last thing we want to mention.
Yeah.
I definitely would have had my actual local pastors on this list.
Yeah.
But we both decided to not include in our life actual, like, our actual pastors.
Yep.
Just because for me it was like, to me it's kind of a given.
Yeah.
And they would have taken up two spots on my list.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be offended by not being on this list.
For sure. Much love to Pastor Ron. Much love to Pastor Jim, Pastor Dave. You know, guys know who you are. Even now, Pastor
Three
Cedric,
spots,
Pastor
yeah.
Ken. I mean, I could fill up 10 spots with pastors in my life. But, I'm glad you brought that up. The one thing I did want to say is that for anybody listening or watching, like, your number one spot as pastors is the pastor that you have. Like, mm-hmm. don't get so, like, I've come across so many people on social media that, like, again, think Stephen Furtick is their pastor. You know, think that, you know, these YouTube pastors or Mike Todd or whatever, that they're their pastors. They don't know you. They can't give you biblical direction, you know, specifically, at least. I've actually reached out to a couple pastors or, you know, people that are online and gotten back to me. Great. But they don't know me. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's a one into one conversation and done. They don't know my situation or whatever. And so the pastor that you have, pastor that you're involved in, you know, involved with locally in a community, that's the best pastor you can ever have. So they can give correction, discipline, encouragement, discipleship. Like, you can't get that from YouTube pastors. So that's why we definitely tailored our list and our, you know, titled our list that way, the way that we did.
Yeah.
Saying preachers and not so much, you know, whatever.
Now, I would say kind of opposite of your last point,
mm-hmm.
but even though the way you said it is definitely more important.
Sure.
But if you don't have a local pastor and all you're doing is listening to people on YouTube, that's definitely better than doing nothing.
Sure.
But go and get you a local pastor.
Yes.
And create relationship, mm-hmm. you know, with him. Be discipled by them, and have a mentor, have an accountability, have a, you know, be in that fellowship.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the most important part right there too. Is like, it's not necessarily like, don't go looking for like A plus pastors and like they're gonna check every box. Like, that's not the point, honestly. Like, it really isn't. It's as great as it is to have pastors that are that amazing or whatever. Like, the community is really what you're buying into. Yeah. Now, that's not to say that you shouldn't be wise in who you become a member of a church under, or submit your, you know, submit to authority under. But, you know, the God built the church to be a community of believers primarily. And yes, there's shepherds and leaders of those communities, but the community is really what is the reward there, is the cake, if you will. If that makes sense.
Nah, that's good. So that's good.
Word.
Top five.
Top five preachers, pastors, teachers, whatever you want to call them. That's it, yo.
All out.
Hey, there we go. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. I hope you guys like this kind of content. If you don't, let us know if you hate it. If you love it, let us know you love it. Please share this, guys. Please comment again and let us know what you think. We have in the plans much more content coming for you guys, like I said in the beginning. So again, I hope you guys enjoyed this. Check out the show notes for our lists are written out on the show notes, and then links for each, for how to find these people. So you can go look them up yourself and check them out. Maybe they'll be on your top five too. But appreciate you guys. Thank you for tuning in. Share it, comment, like it. We'll be back soon. Peace out.
Yay!
Get involved practically in the fight against abortion by supporting and donating preborn.org. So many of us talk about hating abortion, but how many of us actually do something about it, fighting it, even if it's just donating your money? Donating and even getting involved with preborn.org is a very easy, very practical way to get in the fight for the most innocent among us. Not only does your support provide ultrasounds and counseling, it also provides maternity clothes, baby clothes, diapers, and formula. More importantly, your sponsorship gives a young mother an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help fight for that life in the womb that has no voice, and help fight to give hope to that mom and family on the outside of the womb. $28 pays for one ultrasound, where it is found that 80% of moms will choose life if they have seen an ultrasound of their baby. Support at preborn.org. Hey guys, Aaron here. As a first and a last and a whatever else in between you want to do, please support the show in one of the best, easiest, simplest ways you can. Please rate the show on whatever platform you're listening, especially if you're listening through Apple Podcasts. That has so much to do with charts and, you know, moving the show up in the search engines, all this stuff. But whatever platform you're listening, please rate it. Please subscribe to the show if you haven't already. We greatly appreciate it. I hope this content is encouraging, is life building to you. Really to just get you to know God more, because as believers, we believe that our life is about knowing God and making Him known. So I pray that we are doing that for you. And if you could, real quick, just please rate the show, maybe leave a comment even, and subscribe. Thank you guys. Love you. I'm out.